It is Morning Becomes Eclectic. Raul Campos with you right here on KCRW. And it is time for some live music in just a little bit because we are very excited to welcome Angel Olsen back to the KCRW studios. Welcome. How are you?
I'm good.
It's very kind of fitting to have you here today because we've just released the best of 2019 for KCRW. And so we've released the top 10 albums, the top 10 singles, even best of the decade, live sessions. But your album, All Mirrors, has made the top 10 for KCRW.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a great record. And so many things that I want to talk about, but I want to get a little... kind of taste of what the album is. You've gone through so many changes in your last few years of putting out music, but talk to us a little bit about All Mirrors.
Well, I had gone on a solo tour before recording this record, and I just kind of revisited old ways of writing, I guess. And I just wanted to approach this record kind of free of thinking about structures and then add strings and instruments into my writing versus trying to make a classic rock and roll record again or something, right. You know.
Now, you've gone from acoustic folk to indie rock to even like some electronic synth ballads that have kind of like a pop sensibility even on the last record. But now you've brought in like full string sections. And was this intentional on this new record? Why the departure from the previous three?
I didn't know that it would be so different. I guess I thought there would be some guitar solos in the beginning, and honestly, I wasn't sure how it was going to piece together. I knew I wanted some synths and some strings and maybe possibly some guitars, but I wasn't sure, how to approach it. And it was the first one where I really didn't have a plan. I didn't have a layout. I didn't rehearse with a bunch of people and memorize the way it was going to go. It was really, it was kind of anxiety ridden, you know, because of that. But then as we got deeper into working on stuff, I met up with Ben Babbitt, who became sort of a jack of all trades on the record, playing bass when it was needed, but mainly just to be kind of like a basic boning of the record for the strings to fill in. So, right. Yeah.
Well, the first recordings of the songs of the new record were quite different than from what ended up appearing on the final release, mm-hmm. Right? What was the deal with that?
Well, I think it was more of an exercise for me to just let go and to allow collaboration and something completely different to take place without needing to be controlling about every aspect of it. And so for me, it was getting those songs recorded in the raw form first allowed me to open up more to that process. I'm still a little bit controlling about that stuff.
Well, that's good. It's always good to be a little controlling.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. But now you strike me as somebody that really embraces change. And, you know, for many, change is kind of scary. Do you really kind of like take it by the horns and like really like things to be different or changing, evolving?
I like change. I wouldn't want to make the same record twice, you know, and I feel like I think there will be upbeat material in the future. But for this one, I needed to make something weird, and I wasn't sure how people would receive it, honestly. But I'm at a point now where I feel like I'll probably keep writing whether or not some records are received better than others. You know what I mean?
Right. And it sounds like a very emotional record, very introspective. What was going on when you were writing some of these songs?
Breakup.
Oh.
Just changes in my life. Sort of just like a change of perspective mainly. Really thinking about the way that I thought about myself and other people. And I don't know. I think just growing up and kind of facing some stuff that I needed to deal with that I had put off for a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
And it has a very kind of cinematic quality that to a lot of the songs with all the lush strings. And was this, the writing, was it inspired by a lot of these kind of emotional driven times that you were dealing with?
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning it was, and I think by the time we made the visuals for the record, I just kind of went with them and came up with an aesthetic for sort of what would best represent drama. And so in some ways, cinema was inspirational after the record was finished and mastered. But I remember, I think, recording Chance and thinking like, oh, that'll be my first music video. And have yet to do that. But I remember thinking a lot about that one being pretty cinematic. But yeah, I honestly, I didn't know how it was going to sound until it was all done. You know, I think even when I do plan it all out, it's rare that I ever really understand what the songs all mean together as a piece together. It's me just kind of, until it's a record, it's just kind of like little pieces, you know?
Right. Well, you've gone through so many changes, and like I was saying, the different albums from one to the next. If you weren't like a singer-songwriter, what do you think you'd be besides this?
I don't know. I mean, I like to edit things. I like paying attention to details. I'm very detail-oriented, but I'm also like kind of ADD, so I don't know.
I'm sure you'd be doing all kinds of different things.
Yeah,
it wouldn't
I
just
love
be
video
the one.
Stuff, you know.
Right.
That sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's just this. So.
Well, there's another record that got a lot of play here at KCRW, and it's Mark Ronson's Late Night Tales.
All right.
And you're featured on one of his songs, and I was so happy when we finally got a clean radio edit that we can play on the radio. And how did that collaboration come about?
I'm curious to hear what the clean radio edit sounds like, because I don't know.
It's just a couple words that have been silenced.
Oh, yes. Maybe every chorus, for example.
Kind of.
Yeah, it was really fun. I mean, I wrote a song, and I was like, I don't know what to do with this. And he kind of reconstructed it and changed the, you know, where verses would go and where phrases would go. And he changed some keys, and we added a bridge part. And, yeah, it was really kind of an open experience. I was hesitant about it just because he has a different he's coming from a very different musical background, and I wasn't sure how it would go down, but he was very open to me even being in the editing chair and just kind of like telling him what I didn't think was necessary in the track, and yeah, and just listening to my perspective and letting me try stuff. So
very
that was
cool.
Really cool.
Yeah, and I've even seen a video online where it's because the vocals are really strong and mm-hmm. emotional, and the beats are groovy, and you can dance to it. I've seen there's a video where it's basically a disco ball in the shape of a heart, and mm-hmm. it's cracked in half, mm-hmm. which is kind of apropos.
Yeah,
you know, and even like a comment about the song that says it's like a ugly crying that you can dance to at the same time. So I thought that description was like so on point.
I like that.
Yeah. So who came first? Him came to you or you went to him? Or?
I think he came to me. Yeah. He reached out and we talked about it for a little while. And then I eventually met up with him in June. I don't remember, maybe last year. Mm. And yeah, I went over there and met him and hung out. And it was like a couple days in the studio. It was really fun.
Groovy.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about the shows a little bit that are going on tonight and tomorrow. Last time I saw you, you opened up for Arcade Fire at the Forum.
Oh, wow.
Massive, massive
yeah.
room, obviously. And it was cool to see you there live opening up for him. But tonight and tomorrow, you're going to be at the Palace Theater in downtown. So a slightly more intimate venue mm-hmm. than the Forum. What can we expect?
Well, I guess there's going to be a little bit of everything. I mean, I'm going to play some piano songs, definitely play a couple solo songs, play old and new, do a mix of everything. I mean, sometimes, you know, people want to hear the old songs first, but I like to play the record a little bit and then get into the deeper tracks. So,
cool.
Yeah.
And you even have a couple of openers that are really great. Rodrigo Amarante, who's going to be tomorrow, and I think tonight is Vagabond.
Mm-hmm.
And why the selection of those two?
Well, actually, I had heard about Vagabond through Emily, who plays bass with me, and also Tim, who's been on the road with us for a long time. And then I had gone on tour with this guy, David, who goes by Suno Deco, and he recommended her as well. And then she just kept coming up, and I heard that John Congleton had mixed one of her records, her recent record. So it kind of like all these people pointing to this person, and then I checked it out and I loved it. So
cool.
And it's been a pleasure being on tour with them. Just really talented, wonderful people. So
awesome. Well, I guess it's time. Let's get to some live music. It's Angel Olsen with a full band. I see strings. I see guitar, bass, keyboards, drums. It's going to be awesome. Thank you for joining us here
Thank
at KCRW.
You.
So Angel Olsen live on Morning Becomes Eclectic.
Thanks.
Thank you. May some heaven just for a while make me turn. Don't you say you're with me now?
done. I think we should try to do that one again. Oh, I know. We'll do it tonight.
Forget you is too high. There is still so much left to recover. If only we could start again, pretending we don't know each other. I could not come back the same. Walking down that path we made when we thought what we had was such a good thing. Right there, and no one else could see. took me in.